All right, good afternoon. First, I want to say thanks for including me in this session today. I'm happy to be here. So I work for AIDS Healthcare Foundation, and we have several managed care plans for people with HIV and AIDS. So that's where I come from. And today I'm presenting on advanced care planning for people with HIV and AIDS and discussing an initiative we did at our organization to increase advanced care planning. I also want to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Christy Bowden, Dr. Wayne Chen, and also Donna Stidham. We all work together in managed care at AIDS Healthcare Foundation. I have no relationships to disclose. The objectives of my presentation today are to describe early findings about advanced care planning among people with HIV and AIDS at our organization, and to discuss the methods and outcomes of the intervention that we did that was, and they're exciting findings, so it was a successful intervention. So start off with a definition of advanced care planning. Some people don't really know what it is, and it's actually a basic definition is that it's a person's future plan for medical care in the event that they cannot make those decisions for themselves. So often this is called a living will, as many people know it as that, but it's composed of several things, and it includes a discussion of end-of-life care and also reviewing different scenarios. And so those different scenarios could be what kind of medical treatment you want if you are brain damaged, for example, or in a coma, but also includes elements such as, how comfortable you want to be when it's that time. Also, a really, really important part is documenting the end-of-life care that you want, and we call this, and I'll be calling it for the rest of the presentation, an advanced directive. And then finally, carrying out the person's wishes. And when you do this, you obviously ensure that you carry out someone's wishes, but it also ensures the appropriate use of healthcare services at the end of life. So what we know about advanced care planning is that patients look to their doctors to initiate the discussion, and that among elderly people over 65, they're more likely to be asked about advanced care planning and whether they've completed an advanced directive, and that also a doctor's inquiry into whether they had completed one or whether they had one increased the chances that they would complete it 2 to 3-fold. Among people with HIV and AIDS, we also know that a doctor's inquiry is strong. It's the most significant factor associated with someone completing one. And also, we're seeing the incidence of HIV increase among elderly people or people over 50, and also that people are aging into the older age categories with effective treatments. And so as we think about care across the lifespan, it's important to think about the care of older adults for people with HIV and AIDS. So the problems that we see with advanced care planning is that most people prefer to discuss it while they're well and preferably with a doctor who knows them. But most people only discuss or complete one after they're seriously ill or in the hospital. And also only 15 to 25% of adults have an advanced directive. So there's a big need for this advanced care planning. Another part of the problem is that services to extend a person's life account for 27 to 31% of Medicare expenditures, but only 5% of Medicare beneficiaries are dying annually. But there are a lot of opportunities and benefits of advanced care planning, and so qualitative studies have shown that advanced care planning provides opportunities to establish self-autonomy. It also can improve relationships, particularly with loved ones, because it can take away the burden that they might face at the end of life where they would have to make decisions for you and not knowing what you want. It also helps someone confront and prepare for death, but also it provides an opportunity to assess life goals. And also, as people with HIV are aging, they see increased frailty, so comorbidities, and increased vulnerability to illness. And so it's important to give them an opportunity to complete an advanced care directive. So before I go into the intervention, I'll tell you a little bit more about who we are. So we have the two plans that I'm going to discuss our intervention that that we did was Positive Healthcare Partners California. And that is a chronic care special needs plan for people with HIV and AIDS. And so everybody has HIV, and they're also a Medicare beneficiary. This plan was established in 2006. It was the first and only C-SNP for Medicare for people with HIV and AIDS. And also, our current enrollment is 840 members. It's only in LA County, too. We do, AIDS Healthcare Foundation does have another plan that's in South Florida. And then the other one is Positive Healthcare California, and that's a plan for Medi-Cal recipients, but it's also specialized for people with HIV and AIDS. And it was established in 1995, and right now we have 537 members. Here's a snapshot of the demographics of our plan. So basically just want to point out that mostly they are male, but also that nearly 80% in both plans are over the age of 45, and that our Medicare plan has a higher, we have more members over 65 in the Medicare plan. That's PHP California. So when we started our intervention to improve advanced care planning, some of the barriers that we encountered at the member or patient level were that there was just a basic discomfort around discussing the topic of death, and that they didn't want to burden others because they felt uncomfortable with that. And that there's a really strong perception that speaking about it is enough. And what I mean by this is like telling your loved ones. But often that doesn't include all the components of what an advance directive is. It's very comprehensive and includes a review of many scenarios. Some of them didn't want to disclose their HIV status to family members. That was another barrier, and just a lack of understanding about what an advance directive is. And some people just felt well, so they didn't think that they needed to complete one. Among our providers, some of the barriers were they have limited time with patients, as most providers do, and they had difficulty documenting advance directives in our we have an electronic medical record, and then also just discomfort around the topic of death. So how do we address these barriers? Well, what we did was for the providers, we used technology interventions, and so what we did in the electronic medical record was we included a advance directive encounter for them to complete whether they discussed the advance directive, whether the patient had one, and whether or not they gave them an advance directive to complete. Also, we included the advance directive discussion as part of the flow sheet so that they would be prompted to discuss an advance directive. And then our latest intervention was we have a provider report card that tells the providers how many of their patients have completed an advance directive or discussed one. At the member level, our most effective intervention was a member education class on the five wishes. And the five wishes is an advance directive that addresses the personal, emotional, and spiritual aspects of advanced care planning. So it's a really good tool. And so we offered a class, a monthly class, where our members could come and attend, and they would learn about advanced directives and end-of-life care, but also document it and witness that. We also did member and provider newsletter articles, and we educated the medical staff about advanced care planning and advanced directives. Okay, so here are our results, and just want to tell you a little about these measures. I come from a managed care background, so they might not seem really relevant or make sense to you, but the first one is a measure that's part of the HEDIS data set, and the HEDIS data set is the Health Effectiveness Data Information Set, and it's a set of performance measures that managed care industry uses. And these data are obtained through medical record review, so we actually go into the medical record and locate the data. The next one for PHP California is a CAHPS survey, and this is basically a member satisfaction survey about their experience of care. And so we added two questions to that survey. One, we asked them if they had completed an advance directive, and the second one, we asked them if the doctor discussed the importance of an advance directive. And then the last one is really similar to the HEDIS measure. It was for our Medi-Cal plan. We implemented a quality improvement project to do this for our patients in our Medi-Cal plan. And so this one is also an objective data point where we're looking in the medical record. So that's all I want to put in here. Let me show you the findings. So here are the findings. Basically, if you look on the to the right, the advanced directive interventions that we did were really effective between 2011 and 2012, with our Medicare plan increasing up to over 300%, actually, and then the PHC Medi-Cal plan increasing about 250%. And so it's interesting to compare it to the self-reported data from our survey, because it looks like a lot of people are already completing advanced directives and that the intervention had no effect whatsoever. So in our analysis, we determined that for the PHC California plan, that our interventions for the providers and the members were effective, and that was statistically significant. And we determined the same thing for our PHP California plan, that those interventions were also successful. And so, but it's interesting to see the disparity between the members who are reporting that they're completing advanced directives and those that and that we're actually finding in the medical record. So we saw 32% of members actually completed or discussed one, but in contrast, 43% said that they had completed one, and 65% said the doctor discussed it. So it suggests that either there's incomplete documentation on the part of the member or the provider, or that there's still a need for understanding of what an advanced directive is. And so what worked was we shared information and our results for advanced care directives with everybody within our organization, within our health plan, with our providers, and with the healthcare center staff, and also the creation of the prompts in the electronic medical record helped facilitate the discussions. And then the class was really successful, too, in helping our patients complete those advanced directives. And so I just want to conclude that advanced care planning is one approach to patient-driven and cost-effective healthcare, and that it's a really important aspect of routine care for people with life-threatening illnesses such as HIV, and that as healthcare providers, we can help them understand what advanced care planning is and how to complete an advanced directive, and that provider tools can help this routine assessment. Here's some of my references, and thank you. If you have any questions, please let me know.